Welcome back to another episode of Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. Joining me today on Better Than I Found It is our newly hired second assistant, Corey Donnell, who comes to Baylor following a two-year stint at Charleston Southern. Originally from Garland, Texas, Corey grew up a soccer player and really came to the game of golf relatively late. He did, however, earn a scholarship to play for Vince Clark at McLennan, and then after 2 years, he transferred to Abilene Christian to play for Tom Shaw, both terrific coaches and good friends of mine. Corey's a great addition to the Baylor golf program, and I know you'll enjoy hearing his story. Okay, Better Than I Found It listeners, let's give a big Better Than I Found It welcome to my new second assistant here at Baylor, Corey Donnell. Corey, you're brand new to Baylor. It's great to have you, and it's certainly great to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Coach. I'm excited to be at BU and get some work started here. Sick 'em.
Yeah, you better believe it, sick 'em. Well, you know, that's one thing I'd like. When we just hired Jeremy Alcorn about a month ago, but a lot of Baylor people knew who he was. I mean, he's in the Baylor Athletic Hall of Fame. He was an All-American while he was here. He's been coaching longer than you. He's older than you are, that type of thing. So Baylor kind of knew who Jeremy Alcorn was before he got here, and a lot of people recognized his name when he hired, but not as many of them recognized who you were. And so I'd like to spend this 45 minutes or so just kind of letting the Baylor faithful, and honestly, the Better Than I Found It listeners that are pretty loyal, just know who you are and what to expect and what you might be able to add to our program. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're from Garland, Texas, but I don't know your early background in the game. You know, what other sports you played growing up, all of that. Get us caught up on who Corey Donnell is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited to be with you and Jeremy this coming fall, learn from two great coaches and hopefully get better myself. Grew up in Garland, Texas, just east of Dallas.
You know, we have one great sports athlete from here years ago. Nick Florence, our quarterback, was from Garland, Texas.
That's true.
And Nick still holds most of the passing records at Baylor.
Yeah, went to Garland High School. They've always had a good football program.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's a heck of a good guy and works in our development office. But so maybe you're going to be the next great coming from Garland. Yeah?
I hope so. That's the plan anyway. But I grew up in Garland, really didn't know much about golf. I had one older brother, one older sister. Brother's about 5 years older than me, sister's about 10, so I'm the baby in the family. So I was always beat up on the soccer field, just very competitive in anything I did with my brother and sister. But my family actually knew nothing about golf. Grew up soccer family. My dad played soccer in college for 2 years at Eastfield College.
I didn't know that.
Mom played high school soccer. Brother ended up playing soccer at Richland College for about a year. And so it's just, we knew nothing about golf. We were just eating up with soccer. I played select soccer and just kind of fell in love with the game, just kind of happenstance down the road once about a year and a half, probably about a year before my freshman year of high school.
So, I mean, you were 13 or 14 when you took up golf. Who got you into the game? I mean, it's kind of crazy that a soccer player from a soccer family, you know, is actually here in my office as my second assistant coach. How did this happen?
It's kind of crazy. I was playing for FC Dallas, playing select soccer, and we had a tournament, oddly enough, in Waco, Texas. Mm-hmm. It was a showcase event, so there was going to be just like you would have showcase tournaments or invitationals for golf. They have those for soccer, so college coaches were going to be there. And I can't remember the exact date. I'm not as good at dates, remembering dates, as you are. But it was sometime in the springtime, and I know we didn't have to go to school on Friday, so me and my dad left on a Thursday evening. And we didn't have a game until Friday evening. And so that Friday morning, my assistant coach and my dad were pretty good friends. And they said, "Hey, Mike, bring your clubs, and we're going to play some golf on Friday." So my dad brought his golf clubs that were just kind of a ragtag put together set, and they ended up playing. And I told my dad when he was leaving the hotel, I don't want to stay here all day. I want to go play some golf. And I'm kind of frustrated. I can't remember the golf course. My golf memory wasn't as good then.
Well, there's Conley that's no longer here. There's Cottonwood. There's Lake Waco. There's Bear Ridge.
I believe it was Cottonwood, but my memory on it was just not as good. And so we go and play, and I'm sure I hit it terrible, but just absolutely fell in love with the game. And later on down the road, about my sophomore year of high school, I quit playing soccer. Told my dad I wanted to focus full time playing golf. And my first tournament ever, one of your a guy you know pretty well, Blaine Hale, who played at OU. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My first junior golf tournament, I played with Blaine Hale in the Dallas City Championship.
I know he hit it further than you did that day.
He hit it further than me. He was taller than me. He just did everything better than me. Still probably does to this day. And I shot 93-93.
Good job. Consistent.
Wearing cargo shorts and a golf polo with my name on it.
Oh, God. Who did that to you?
I don't know.
Did your mom put that on there?
I hope not. We're going to have words. I think it was my grandma who bought me that shirt, but pretty funny. And so Blaine fired a 71, 72, or something pretty close to par. And just kind of got eaten up with the game and kept going with it.
You know, a good friend of both of ours, Hunter Shattuck, who played golf for me, he played at McLennan where you played. Hunter was in the eighth grade, basically, when he took up the game, and he was shooting 95 to 100 in the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the old story, you have to get started when you're really young, get started 8 or 9 or 10, sounds good, but guys can make something out of the game if you have enough enthusiasm and love for what you're doing and get some decent instruction. Did you take instruction early on?
No, you probably won't believe this, but no, I didn't. I didn't have my first actual lesson until after my junior year at ACU, at Abilene Christian University.
So it was all just how you picked up the game?
It was completely self-taught. I read tons of golf books, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Golf My Way, and just every single book I could get a hold of, golf magazines. I probably had Golf Channel on too much at the house. I know my mom got frustrated with that at times, but it worked out. I got a golf scholarship down the road, so that was nice.
So, I mean, you don't really take up the game in earnest until your sophomore year?
No, it was my freshman year of high school.
Okay, freshman year of high school. But still, a few years later, you're playing for Vince Clark right here at McLennan Junior College. How did Vince run into you, and how did he give you that opportunity? Because it doesn't sound like you were shooting 71 when he got to you.
No, I definitely was not. You know, first of all, I wouldn't have been able to play junior golf without my dad. Mm-hmm. Kind of, obviously, when you're a junior golfer, you're not paying for these events. Your parents are helping you. And so he actually would do some extra work on the side. I remember him working at American Airlines Center. He worked some concessions so that we could afford to travel to some events and pay, you know, for some Legends tours. Never played in the AJGA. Those were a little bit out of our price range, but played in a ton of Legends Junior Tour events, and that's probably where I get my work ethic from my dad. So before I got to McLennan, I wouldn't have been able to get as good as I did unless my dad didn't do all that for me. So that'll always be a great memory of mine.
So what did your dad do for a living?
He works for the city of Garland in Garland, Texas.
Still does. But he went on the side and worked extra hours at the American Airlines Center?
Yeah, he did. I remember he'd bring home some – he might be mad I'm telling this story.
That's okay.
He'd bring home some chicken strips or whatever, the concession food. That would be like always be a fun little treat when he got home. But he's definitely one of my heroes for doing that. And
well, I mean, your dad obviously got you into the game, got you where you love the game, and introduced you. And Vince, you ran into Vince Clark at some point, McLennan college coach. How'd that happen?
I did, yeah. He's another one of my heroes. He would hate to hear me say that because he's big on heroes. So, yeah, I know he would not like to hear that. Sorry, Vince. I go my junior year of high school, have a good year, break par for the first time. My spring semester of high school in district, and going into my senior year, August, my mom found out my mom had breast cancer on August 9th is when I found out, which is my birthday. That was kind of a rough day. I had just worked all day at Fireville Golf Course. I was a cart boy during the summers to pay for some events and gas and just what high school kids would pay for. And so my senior year, I wasn't really thinking about college, to be honest. I wasn't sending emails out. I didn't reach out to tons of coaches. And one of my friends on the junior NTPGA junior tour at the time, his name's Brandon Schaefer, told me to reach out to Vince Clark, and we actually down the road ended up being teammates at McLennan. It just kind of worked. But the only college email I sent was to Vince Clark at MCC. So we go to our regional preview, which was at Twin Rivers, which is now back to Bear Ridge, changed the name back. And that was my junior year. We were at Cottonwood my senior year. So we go to Cottonwood, a lot of great high schools. We were a 5A school at the time, which was the highest class. And oddly enough, paired with Blaine Hale. And such a good player. He was still hitting it further than me then. And when I sent the email to Vince, I told him to come watch me at Cottonwood if he had the chance. And so I played with Blaine for two rounds, and I just played well. We played the tips that day, which, you know, most high school tournaments, you don't really get tipped out. And I shot 71-71, and I still have the text message that Hunter Shattuck sent me of him and Vince texting back and forth and said, "I like Corey a lot. I think I'm going to offer him."
Wow.
And so it's just such a great memory. And luckily I played well and everything kind of worked out and ended up where I was supposed to be.
Well, most kids outside of this area wouldn't know what they would be missing not getting to play for Vince. I wish I had gotten a chance to play for Vince. He's an outstanding coach. But I know what I think makes him really good. What are some of the things you think makes Vince Clark a great coach, even though he doesn't want to hear all these things, but he's going to have to?
Yeah, he's going to have to. He is a great leader, mentor. He knows how to get guys to, one, believe in themselves, but two, he knows how to just guys from different environments, different backgrounds, he can just get them to play for one another like nobody else. And it's really hard to explain unless you kind of experience it. But one thing, when I was on my visit at McLennan, went there with my mom and dad, and we're in an elevator, and we're going up to the second floor for he's going to show us. Most people don't know Vince is also a full-time history teacher. And so he was going to show us his classroom that he teaches in. And I vividly remember him saying, "This is where your brothers go to class." Mm. And back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, my brother's in Garland, Texas. What are you saying, Vince? And he tells us that he calls his players brothers because they truly are brothers. You spend at McLennan's only a two-year school, so for 2 years at a time, you're spending countless hours with your teammates, and you're spending more time with them than you do your family for two full years. And so he never had a brother growing up. He has a sister who's a sweetheart. She came to our national championship to watch us, and very sweet, but he never had a brother, so he always wanted one. And so his gift to his players is giving them brothers for life. And it definitely is a family atmosphere that he builds, and that's something that I would love to continue on in my coaching career.
I think it's probably one of the biggest impacts he's had on me is I'm not nearly as good at it as he is, and I know that. But I think our team synergy and chemistry and just the way the guys get along here at Baylor has gotten a lot better because of the impact Vince has had on me as far as creating a family environment, creating a brotherhood, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the first time I really experienced that was my first year, actually, at Baylor, when Andrew Hands would talk about his time at McLennan, and he would talk about the brotherhood and his brothers, and this is what they did. And it was like a nonstop. And I think Vince must have about 10 or 15 different text threads with 2 and 3 year groups together that spent time together, and you know, they still communicate that way a lot, which to me is amazing. But the fact is, you've only got 2 years to do it with Vince, just 2 years to get these guys to all get on the same page and to develop a high affection for each other, a lifelong brotherhood. It's amazing. So you feel like that's one of the biggest things he's shown you.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And he's another thing that he doesn't get credit for. And he's just such a good Christian man. I mean, he works at a public school, so it's not something he openly talks about a lot, but he doesn't have to. He shows it in his mannerisms. He shows it in how he cares for people, how he talks to people. Just him just living on a daily basis shows you he's just a good man.
Yeah, and I think that's probably people always want to look at results. Like, that's the success of a coach. And he's been highly successful. He's won 3 national championships. It's not like Vince, and his team is there every year. So it's like they're really, really successful on the golf course and have been for a long time. But you can kind of see that he's showing you there's a whole lot more to coaching. And I don't think it's an accident that several of his former players a lot of them are actually in the coaching profession. And I think he inspires that. And even if a guy doesn't get into coaching, he thinks about it. You know, it's like, I wonder what it'd be like to be a coach, because Vince is such a great coach. So
that's what got me into coaching.
Yeah. So did you talk to Vince before you thought about getting into coaching, or did you just do it because you felt like his influence had pushed you that direction?
Not really influence. Vince, he likes to suggest things, but he might not push you to do anything. But I, just from how he cared for us in my time in McLennan, I would just, as a player, once I got done playing, just knew that I wanted to be involved with the game. But I didn't want to be an assistant golf pro. I couldn't see myself doing that for a living. It kind of makes for a hard family environment for the hours and long days. But I wanted to be around golf, and so I did talk with him a little bit about what he thought about me being a college coach. And he kind of told me the process of looking for jobs, and he's definitely helped me along the way with interviewing and just simple things like that.
You know, you mentioned you played 2 years for Vince. That wasn't the end of your college career. You played also for another good friend of mine, Tom Shaw, at Abilene Christian. How did you go about getting that process? I mean, like, that, this is all recruiting. Vince did it in a different way. And was Tom any different?
He definitely did things differently, but he was so, like, such a great coach in his own way. I wish I would have played better for Coach Shaw for 2 years. I struggled a little bit, but things happen the way they're supposed to happen, and I was extremely grateful to be there. Found some brothers along the way, some Abilene Christian brothers. We didn't go by brothers then, just teammates, but they're definitely some great friends for life. Coach Shaw is a great coach. So he might have the highest golf IQ in college golf.
I think it's underrated. I can tell you that. A lot of people don't know.
It's insane. He is a constant learner. That's something that I want to continue in my coaching philosophy as I continue to grow and learn. He's just so knowledgeable about the game, whether it's, you know, getting TPI certified, body track stuff, track man. He just knows so much stuff, which is why I think he can help his players get better so quickly. So.
Still a good player himself, still competes occasionally, which I think is great. I really kind of wish I did, but I don't. But, yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, I've known some people that have worked or played for both of those coaches, and you know one good friend of ours, Brandon Wilkins, who's done the same thing you did. He's at SMU now, and I think it's really – I think it's special when you get your influences, those two kind of guys. I mean, the way they live their lives and the way they do it, it's like that's a great example. You don't want to copy what they do because you're going to be your own individual coach, but – there's certainly a lot of things. And I personally think everything I am as a coach is just a compilation of all the different influences I've had in my life. So, yeah, I've stolen a lot of good information from coaches. And hopefully while you're here at Baylor, you steal some good stuff from us. But I expect you to add to us, too.
Absolutely.
So maybe you'll give me a little bit more Vince and a little bit more Tom, that things that I think would be valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you finished there in, it was about 4 years ago you finished, or 5?
I would have graduated May 2019.
So 4 years ago. And then Did you go? You didn't immediately go into coaching at that point.
No, I didn't. I started working at Firewood Golf Park, which is a course I grew up on, playing throughout high school. Started as a assistant pro working in the golf shop. I didn't start any of the book work, just kind of a golf shop attendant, realistically. And that helped me kind of continue playing. I played in a few professional events after college, unsuccessfully, which is why I'm a coach now. But still love the game. I love competing. I love being competitive in anything. So still love to play a lot. Just don't get the chance to. But so for that 2 year stint before I got into coaching was just basically working, teaching junior golf at Firewheel.
Did you live at home? Playing.
I did.
Save a little money.
I still lived at home. Saved some money. I definitely needed that.
Yeah, it's like you weren't becoming a rich guy as an assistant pro, and but no rent. That helps. That helps a lot. You know. So I know you spent 2 years at Charleston Southern. That's quite a ways away from Garland, Texas. How did that work? And I know you worked for Jordan Jeffers, a really, really great young coach that I think is great.
He's awesome. I loved working for Jordan for 2 years. It's actually, you know, kind of a godsend. That whole summer, summer of 2021, I was interviewing for a few jobs in the state of Texas as an assistant coach, some on the men's side, some on assistant for men and women's programs. And I had kind of given up, to be honest. I had about 6 interviews that summer of 2021. And
no every time?
Yeah, it was a no every time, but they hired former players. So I don't blame them. That's, you're bringing the culture back into the program, which is a smart thing to do. And so that summer I got done with my last interview, got told they were going with another guy, which was fine. And about August 10th or 12th, kind of, it was after my birthday, I remember that, my now wife calls me, and she was actually a grad student at Union University as a grad assistant golf coach.
Where's Union?
It is in Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay.
And so she was up there, and she was finishing her second year for her master's, and she receives a phone call from Jordan Jeffers, who is at the time looking for an assistant coach. Luckily, Lydia's voicemail was set up, which she didn't have it set up in the past. And so she ends up calling him back, says, you know, unfortunately, I'm not available to start working. I still have another year of my master's, but I do know a guy that is looking to be an assistant coach. And she goes, but I will tell you, he is my boyfriend. And just kind of worked perfect. Jordan gave his email to Lydia.
Did Lydia play for Jordan when he was at Houston Baptist or not? No.
No, she did not. She played at McLennan for 2 years, which is where we met.
I got you.
And then she finished at Dallas Baptist University.
I thought there was a connection maybe between him and her that he had coached her at one point.
No, there was a connection. Katie Cummings,
okay. Who
is now the head coach at head women's coach at McLennan, her and Lydia played a ton of junior golf together, so they knew each other a lot. So Jordan, I sent Jordan my resume, and it kind of worked perfect. It was complete godsend. I had no control over it. Just,
you didn't have a lot of time. School was starting.
I did not. So had two phone call interviews with Jordan, and then had another phone call interview after he wanted me to be there, offered me the job with Jeff Barber, the AD at Charleston Southern. And that went great, and everything worked out. And Jordan asked me, can you be here next Friday? And that was on a Friday. So I found an apartment online, just figured it out, got a U-Haul and packed up and moved east with not having any.
Yeah, but when you're 24 or 5 and no possessions, so you didn't have a lot, did you?
No, I did not. I could not really furnish a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment.
Well, that's okay. It makes it easier to move. Every time my wife and I have moved, we've realized how much stuff we have. You don't need all this stuff. That's just my opinion. I believe it.
Yeah, I've heard a great story about you, your apartment. What your first apartment was.
That one's not public yet. I may have to make that as a full-on podcast interview because honestly, yeah, I was a minimalist all the way. And I remember being young like you and just thinking, I don't need this stuff. Why do you need it? If you have it, you just have to move it all the time. So,
yeah, exactly.
But anyway, you got all the way out to Charleston Southern and you and Jordan, and you actually had some, tell me about that time together, because it was actually the most successful both the men's and women's golf programs have been maybe in their history. Go ahead and talk about the success you all had.
Oh, it was great. So I got to Charleston that next Friday, and HR didn't clear me for another few days, so I was just kind of getting to know the area. But as soon as me and Jordan kind of saw each other in person and got to know each other, I feel like our personalities just clicked very well. We got along great, knew what our goals were for the year, and it was just a kind of a perfect storm for, coaching setup. He's very easygoing, and so am I, so we meshed off each other very well. Our men's program, I was the assistant men's and women's coach, so I was pretty busy. It was kind of a perfect storm for Jordan. I was single, as in not married, no family out there. So I lived, just breathed and ate nothing but golf.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would do as much as I could, and kind of the work ethic my dad was able to instill in me just kind of shaped how we did things over there. So it was amazing. But our first year, the men's program hadn't won conference since 2015. We go to conference and just guys played phenomenal. We played well most of the spring. We won a golf week event out at True Blue golf course in the spring, played well, went wire to wire there, had a few events between golf week and conference was at Patriot Golf Club in 96, South Carolina. And I had never seen the golf course until then, and it just set up beautifully for our guys. Most of our guys would hit just these pretty cuts stuff I love, and so I just set up perfectly.
Can you hit a pretty cut or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
I like hearing that.
Sometimes. And so we play there, and we went wire to wire at conference. And in the Big South Conference, we do 54 holes, three rounds of stroke play, and then you go into match play. And match play, we played really well. Everything was just clicking. It was just, some weeks it's just your week, and that was just kind of what it was for us. We were going down the last day in the final match, the championship match. Caleb Loudon, one of our players who was a senior that year, walk-on for us, ended up winning the match against the number one player in the conference, and just kind of sealed the deal for us. So that was pretty amazing.
That would be considered an upset right there for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. His name was Zach Byers, who's also a great player. He finished playing that year after that at University of South Carolina.
Okay. And you guys won the match play there, which got you into a regional appearance.
It did. That was pretty exciting. We had a little watch party on campus and had some pizza. Guys got some notoriety, so that was amazing.
Where was your regional that year?
We played out at PJ National in Florida, which was set up pretty darn tough, except for Vanderbilt. I think they were playing a different golf course.
You know, the last few years, Scott Limbaugh's teams have played different golf courses. I'm convinced. They're not playing the same course.
Yeah, they played amazing that week. That was some good stuff to watch.
Well, and then this past year, you guys were runner-up, is that correct, in the conference championship again? Or?
We were. Had a great run. Struggled in stroke play a little bit, but squeaked into match play. Go to our first match in match play, and we won every match, all five. And we had a lot of momentum coming out of the matches because we were down in three of the matches through eight holes, and guys kind of kicked it in gear, so helped us. But once we got to the championship match, we lost on the last hole to a 10-footer. Longwood University ended up beating us, and that, as a first time as a coach, that was probably one of my toughest, losses.
Get ready.
And I know. Yeah, exactly.
Get ready. It's coming.
I'm gonna have many more, but I'm sure you've experienced it where you're sad on the green for the players, some playing for the last time at Charleston Southern. At the time, everybody knew that that was my last tournament at Charleston Southern, so there were some tears on my end and on their end, but we still shook the hands of the guys at Longwood. They deserved it.
Did you guys get rings for that first championship you won in 22?
We did, yes, sir.
That's kind of nice.
That was
those,
nice.
Those are fun. That's a I never wear them, but those are always something you think, golly, that's just kind of validates all that hard work you did all year long, and not very many people win. It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, no matter what level you're at, junior college, NAI, Division I, II, or III, it's just hard to win anything.
It really is. And, you know, every time I see a young coach or an old coach even that has, like, a major victory, like it's like that has come either out of nowhere or been a long time coming, it's like you just want to send him a text and say, great going. That's hard to do. I know what you're experiencing right now. It's the greatest feeling ever. But and you don't tell them this, but it'll go away. Sorry. And I'm not being dark here. I'm just saying the reality is that the sport we play, you don't win very often. And when you do, you don't take it for granted. You're thankful it happened. And you kind of look back and try to figure out what are some of the things we did that got us to this point. Because I want to do those again if I can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay, you said you knew it was your last kind of tournament there at Charleston Southern, so that means you already had plans to come back to Texas, right?
I did. It was a tough conversation. I got back from Christmas break, coming back to Texas, seeing my family and fiance at this point. We had got engaged that summer of 2022 on July 1st. And had conversations about me moving back to Texas since we were going to get married that next year. So the conversation with the players was hard because I really enjoyed being in Charleston. Weather's amazing. Scenery is great. And the people at Charleston Southern were always treated me in just exceptionally well. I was also a Christian university. And so I just had a lot of everything aligned with what I believe in, and so it was a great time for me. But the players knew, so going into conference on the men's side and women's side was kind of bittersweet, because if we didn't advance, it was going to be the end of it. So I moved after conference after the men's conference championship. Drive back to Charleston, you know, a sad drive, but made it fun. Kind of played some music in the car and just had a good time with the players.
What kind of music? We listened to George Strait or not?
We listened to some, I think it was some Zach Bryan, some Morgan Wallen.
Okay.
I think there's some George Strait mixed
there
in there.
There needs to be some George Strait mixed in there. You can't just listen to the modern day guys. I mean,
I think there had to be some George Strait in there.
The thing about George Strait is he transcends three or four generations of music, and he's just as good to listen to that. He hits every single note. And by the way, he and Chris Stapleton were singing at a concert in the rain just yesterday, and I saw that video on Twitter. So anyway, I've got to get my George Strait plug in there. If you're going to be here at Baylor, you need to listen to more George Strait. You got it?
Oh, he's great. I grew up listening to George Strait.
Well, anyway, you got back out of Texas, and you and Lydia got married in June.
We did, yeah. So I moved back to Texas middle of May. Loaded up my, you know, full house apartment with all my with my one tiny couch and bed, and get back, prepare a wedding. But to be honest with you, Lydia was a trooper. She did all that while I was five states away, so can't thank her enough for that. We had a beautiful wedding, but we met at McLennan, oddly enough, so we're both fellow Wakeovans. So we get married June 16th, go on a honeymoon to Cabo, which I had never been out of the country, so that was definitely a unique experience for me. And then after that, I had a few phone calls with you, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a phone call before you went on that wedding or to the wedding, and I said, we'll just talk when you get back. And, you know, I had talked to some other people, and I thought this – you know, I thought it'd be great to talk to you again, and you came down and spent a day with us, and it was obvious to me, I think you'd be perfect for this. I, you know, part of it was just kind of how we aligned with a lot of things that are important to me as a coach. And I know you got a little bit of that from Tom Shaw. You got a little bit of that from Vince Clark, and maybe some from Jordan Jeffers as well. So I think it's not to be understated, and I'm not overstating this when I say the influences you have in coaching. I mean, you've got to learn, and you're going to learn from me, but you might learn some things you don't want to do, and that's okay too. You know, but I know you learned a lot, and I know that as I recall, you were a little bit nervous on the interview.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah, that's okay too. If I love it when somebody's nervous during an interview, and when a prospect is nervous in the interview when he's in my office, because it looks, you know, it's like, gosh, I think he really wants this position. I think it'd be great. But so you got married in June, and you went on a quick honeymoon. You came back here, and we had an interview. And the next thing you know, you're the second assistant at Baylor without a desk.
With that,
2 days ago, you got your desk.
That's
finally.
True. How about that?
Yeah, it's good to have a desk. So, you know, I don't know what to say about where this is all headed. I know that I'm excited about it. I know that your time here will be valuable to my players and to Jeremy Alcorn, and hopefully, certainly to me, that, you know, you spend quality time. What do you want to get out of this situation?
First of all, thanks, Coach. Appreciate you having me on the podcast, and obviously having me here at Baylor means a lot. It's not easy as a head coach, giving your somewhat of your keys to the kingdom to a younger coach who's, you know, going to talk to your guys and instill in them every day. So I appreciate you trusting in me.
Absolutely.
But best thing I want to, or the most important thing I want to get out of this, you know, my time here at Baylor is just like Coach Shaw, continue to learn, continue to grow. You and Jeremy have a lot to offer, not only the guys on the team, but a lot to me, just to learn how to be a better coach, better man, and just continue to be better every day.
I think you said something about both Vince and Tom, but when you said Tom is a constant learner, I think that's one of the great qualities of any coach. For two reasons. One, because you're getting better. Your skills are improving, and everybody thinks your skills have to deteriorate and to diminish over time. Not if you keep a fresh mind and a fresh outlook. So one, Tom being a constant learner means he's getting better. But number two is he's got a certain amount of humility as well.
He does.
And so if you are humble, that means you're open to more learning, and you can learn from anybody. So that's the part I think people would miss. They miss this. It's like, if I hire a 26, almost 27-year-old assistant coach, yeah, I'd love for him to add a lot to the program, but I want him to add to my coaching, you know. So there's got to be something you're bringing to the table. I don't know what it is. Most people would think you're coming here to learn from me. That, yeah, you're going to learn something. I would be shocked if you didn't, but if you didn't, it's because you're not paying attention. I do like to tell stories, and I'm not afraid to say my opinion. But the truth is, I want to learn from you as well. I just don't know what it is yet. The only thing I've really got on you right now, truly, you've been coaching 2 years, and I've been coaching 36. So I've got 34 years of experience. There's something wrapped up in there that might be valuable, but doesn't mean I'm a better coach than you. I told Jeremy that same thing when I hired him this summer. Doesn't mean. I've told young coaches that come here to sit down and talk about coaching, what can you tell me today? What can you teach me today? And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? It's like, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And the last minute and a half that I've been talking, I haven't learned a thing. So I want to hear what you have to say.
You know, that's funny you say that, Coach. One thing that you mentioned on my interview that I'll remember forever, you said, Corey, are you a better coach than I am in any way, shape, or form?
That's a leading question and a tough one. It's loaded.
That is. And my response was... And I will say I did respond somewhat quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, sir, I think I have something that I'm better than you at. I'm not sure what that is yet, and neither are you, so I guess we'll figure that down the road. But that's something that was stood out to me, and definitely was – I left the interview knowing that I wanted to be here at Baylor working for you.
I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited about the year. Let's talk a little bit about the year. I don't know if we did this on Jeremy's podcast or not, but we start with a couple of tournaments that are really, really strong. I mean, really strong. The Valero Texas Collegiate down at TPC San Antonio. Be a lot of great teams there. Then we are home for a couple of days in class, and then we go to Olympia Fields in Chicago, and that field is strong every year. Now that's good that I said that, except the problem is you're not going to either one.
Are you rubbing it in?
I am. I am rubbing it in. But the idea is, one of the reasons we hired you, and this is a really important distinction to make, is every year when, and thankfully the NCAA allowed it. I mean, I'm just wonderful. Before it was a volunteer position, and now it's a paid position, is that when we were on the road, if there's guys at home, they're not getting any coaching. And we can leave them qualifying tee times to go play, and we can leave them practice sessions and whatever. But when we're gone and the team is gone and you're not on the road, you're going to be here. Mm-hmm. And my expectation is that the guys, I mean, you're the head coach when we're gone. Mm-hmm. So have you been thinking about those days when you're here, yeah, and that Jeremy and I are off with the team and you've got five or six guys here? Have you thought about it?
I have, absolutely. And it's thank you, NCAA, for adding a coach. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here, I guess.
That's right.
But it has been something I've thought about. You know, in the college golf world, it's crazy when we're going to have 11 guys on the team this fall. And when you're taking more guys leaving more guys at home than you are on the road, it gets pretty tough. And it's great. So I'm excited to do that. Player development's kind of a big thing that I like to focus on. Kind of seeing how Vince went about it is something that's, I think that's probably a reason that I'd like to focus on player development. One, you know, if they feel cared about, they're probably going to work a little bit harder down the road. If they feel, you know, like you're paying attention to what's going on, like around them, reading the room, they're probably going to, you know, continue to work a little bit harder down the road. So it's something that I'm excited to do with the guys and get to know them and share in their successes and their failures and just help them through life.
Well, we do have a couple of tournaments, too, where we're taking all 11 guys because there's an individual tournament there as well a couple times, and there's a couple of individual tournaments, period. So you're going to be going on the road a bit, but a lot of times you're going to be going on the road with the guys that you've been working with at home. So I think that'll really – and we don't know how this is going to look. And I know that other coaches are using their new assistant coach in a different way. It might be strictly director of operations type things, you know, team travel and recruiting reconciliation and paperwork and computer work. You'll do some of that, there's no doubt. But I just think it's really important for you to get a coaching experience out of this. And so – if you're going to coach, let's have you coach. You know, you're going to coach a little bit on the road, but you're definitely going to be coaching with guys up here in town, and I think that's important. And I don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't know how long you'll be here, but I do know this. If you walk out of here and you're not a better coach than you walked in, then that's a good portion of that's my fault, and some of that's your fault. I mean, that's what the way I look at it. I say that to every player, too. So if a player walks out and he's not as good as when he walked in, I've got a lot of culpability there. Yeah. But no, we're looking forward to that. And I know you've been doing a lot of thinking, and you just showed me a legal pad of practice sessions and things you'd like to do, which is great. You know, Mike Holder told me when I worked for him a long time ago, he says, you got all these great ideas, you should be writing them down. And he had no idea that I was going to start journaling to the extent that it's become. But like everything, every time I have a team practice, every time we have a meeting, individual, as a team, whatever it may be, anything we do, I'm jotting it down. It's one, so I've got a record of it. And two, if it worked well, I want to do it again. So I'm really excited to look at that legal pad that you prepared just to see. No, really, to see some of the things you might be thinking about and preparing for the team. And our guys really haven't met you or Jeremy. So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, just by text message, a Zoom call, and phone calls. But I know that they're all excited. You know, it's the same team we had last year, plus two freshmen. Mm. So I've got two freshmen coming in to join those nine guys that are all back. It's really exciting. So we should have a great season. But you're going to have a very seasoned, old team. These guys, because we have three super seniors and two regular seniors. It's an old team.
It's going to be a pretty competitive team this year, it sounds like. I'm excited to meet everybody here, and I guess we've got just a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think they'll all, in earnest, will start showing up in a little over 2 weeks. We have four guys currently that are mm-hmm. going to be in the U.S. Amateur, and then hopefully have one more that might get in. But we have a good group of players going to be at the USAM, which is great. And then we get started the Monday after the USAM, so it's here. And 2 weeks after we are in class, I think, is when we go to that first tournament in San Antonio. So buckle up. Yeah, it's here. It's ready to go. But I just want to say this to all my podcast listeners. Corey, you are a great, great addition to the program. Really excited about having you here, and I look forward to the future with you.
Thanks, Coach. Same to you. I appreciate you having me on your podcast. I do want to add one thing.
Okay.
About a year ago, Lydia is also my wife is also a golfer, and so she listens to the podcast. And she said, how cool would it be to be on a podcast, on the Better Than I Found It podcast? And so about a year and a half later, it's kind of funny that I'm here. So I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's great. I'm thrilled to do it. I don't know what number you're going to be, but almost right at 160 Mondays in a row is when yours will. That's a lot of Mondays in a row.
Man, that's impressive.
Well, I don't know if it's impressive. It's just a streak, but who knows? But all right, well, we look forward to having you back on here later on and see what your experience is like at Baylor.
Thanks, Coach. Sick 'em.
Sick 'em Bears.